Good morning. Good to see you today. What a spectacular day it is, too. It's just, there's not even any mosquitoes really to speak of. I did see one the other night, but anyway, they're coming. They're coming. We don't want them to feel left out, do we? We've had lots of rain to make them feel all nice and comfortable. So anyway, good to see you today. I don't want to talk about mosquitoes anymore. So it's just a gorgeous day. It's a great day to be here together. Happy Memorial Day weekend, and we will worship together this morning with a spirit of thankfulness for everything we have. So just a few announcements quickly before we get started. Today at 11, there's food and fellowship in the fellowship hall, and there's a little something extra. There's going to be a baptismal celebration also, so I hope you can stay around for that. I don't think we're going to go hungry today after church. I just have a feeling. Tomorrow, Monday, all day, have a safe and memorable Memorial Day. And Wednesday, 8 o'clock, we continue our Bible study in Isaiah. We take a 15-minute break, and then the prayer group meets. So if there's a prayer card in the pew in front of you, you have a prayer request, fill that out, put it in the collection plate. It will be prayed for. Saturday, 12 to 5 p.m., Connor Nelson's graduation open house right here at Grace. We had a very large confirmation class that year, and they're all graduated from high school now, so there's lots of open houses to attend. And then a reminder from the call committee to get your pastoral surveys in. They want to remind you of that. Our May mission of the month is Mavis Schlesky, medical expenses. Mavis was recently diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And, of course, the Schleskys have a lot of connections into our church, and they're a great local family, so we want to support that. Next Sunday, June 2nd. June already. Wow, where did May go? 10 a.m. morning worship with Holy Communion, and 11 a.m. food and fellowship in the fellowship hall. And then also next Sunday, there's going to be an open forum on the pastoral search. So the call committee is inviting you as a congregation to sit down with them and talk about what you'd like in your pastor. And then Wednesday, June 5th, the Foundry Youth Group, it's their summertime kickoff, so they're going to meet at church here for a potluck and then go to Uncle Eddie's ice cream. So, and then thank you to all those who brought food and served for last Sunday's fellowship hour. I think those are the announcements. Anything else that I've left out? Going once, going twice? All right, we open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it is Memorial Day weekend, and so we do have a prayer to acknowledge that. So let us pray. Gracious Father, we are mindful on Memorial Day of war's destruction and of all who have died in service of our freedom. May we, the living, dedicate our lives to those ideals for which they died. Restore us to being that people whose God is the Lord. Lord, in your mercy.
Can
and we take. Sure. It is Memorial Day, not Veterans Day. But veterans, stand up. Veterans Day, stand up. Veterans, stand up. Thank you very much for your service. Can we take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning?
Here this morning, and want to invite you to join in our opening song, Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Wonderful, merciful Savior.
Played a beautiful prelude, and it was "Praise to the Lord the Almighty." And that's such a wonderful opening prelude for this Trinity Sunday, as we think of the glory that our Lord and God deserves. And I'd like to just read the words to just two verses of "Praise to the Lord the Almighty." "Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is your health and salvation. Let all who hear now to his temple draw near, joining in glad adoration." That's what we're doing. "Praise to the Lord, oh, let all that is in me adore him. All that has life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again, gladly forever adore him." Let's continue with our responsive reading of Psalm 29, verses 1 through 4. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in his splendor and holiness.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders.
The Lord over many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
May the Lord give strength to his people.
May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we worship you as our eternal three-in-one. We praise you for your power worked for our salvation and peace. Amen. And we continue now with our opening hymn together, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Trinity Sunday, a beautiful Sunday in which we acknowledge God and his fullness, his three persons. And the bulletin cover is actually a picture of what's referred to as Augustine's shield, the early church father. And it's a beautiful representation of what we believe about the Trinity. In terms of our salvation, we embrace the fact that God the Father sent God the Son to do his work of redemption, and God the Holy Spirit gives us faith to believe in that great work that Jesus accomplished for us. So the whole Trinity collaborated in our salvation, and we are so grateful for that. And today we're going to take a little extra time, and we'll use another one of the ancient creeds of the church, the Nicene Creed, as we acknowledge God in his fullness after our time of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God's word of truth and promise in the book of 1 John is quite clear. It goes like this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's take God at his word of promise right now together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. It's my great joy and distinct privilege to proclaim to you this morning that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith as we confess together the ancient creed, the Nicene Creed, the creed from the first ecumenical council in 325 AD. Christians all over the world have recited this important statement of faith for almost 1,700 years. In this creed, we confess the true biblical definition of the true God we worship. Let us confess together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, who was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And God's peace be to each and every one of you this morning. Well, this morning we have a beautiful opportunity to welcome someone into the family of God, specifically into the membership of this church, Grace Lutheran. And so we're going to bring one of the Melkert clan into Christ Church. So Ryan, Samantha, and of course, guest of honor, Sophie, come on up. Sponsors, Maggie and Jordan, come on up also. What a thrill. And what a beautiful example of faith. Because our Lord tells us that we need to be converted and become like Sophie. And you might think, why is that? Well, Sophie is being carried by her mother. She's nurtured by her parents. She really can't do much on her own. And that's the point that the Lord is making. We need to be carried by Him. We need to be nurtured by Him and cared for by Him. It's not about us. It's about what He's done. So let us hear what the Scripture teaches about our sin and the redemption provided by God in Jesus Christ. From Romans chapter 3 and chapter 5, the words of St. Paul, "Through one person, sin entered the world, passing sin on to all people. Because of sin, death came on everyone. Therefore, all are under the condemnation of sin and fall short of the glory of God. But God sent another person, His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for our sin. Through His atoning death for sin for the whole world, that those who believe in Him are delivered from death, declared righteous, and given eternal life." Let us hear how the Lord Jesus invited the little children to come to Him from the Gospels of St. Luke and St. Mark. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have Him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them, but Jesus called the children to Him and said, "Let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And He took the children in His arms and put His hands on them and blessed them. Now Luke was a physician. He knew what a baby was. He uses the word in this text, brephos, which is used of Jesus and John the Baptist prenatal. It's used of Jesus when He was 8 days old and brought to the Lord in circumcision. So today, we acknowledge that our Lord is going to meet Sophie in baptism. Therefore, in order that this child, who just like the rest of us, is by nature sinful from the time of conception, may see the kingdom of God into which our Lord Jesus Christ Himself has said that none can enter unless born of water and the Spirit, we now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, receive her through holy baptism into Christ's believing church, that she may have a part in His salvation as He Himself promised when He commanded His disciples to baptize and to teach. From Matthew 28, the words of our Lord, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And it's to the last part of that text that we direct Ryan and Samantha some questions for you, and then we'll have a question for the sponsors also. And so in regarding to this, not only baptize, but to teach. Do you wish to have Sophie baptized into the faith in the triune God that we just confessed, the ancient and orthodox creed of the Christian Church that defines the person of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer yes. And this is part of the old baptismal literature, but I love it. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? Will you make every effort to provide a Christian home for Sophie, surround her with love? Will you give Sophie access to the worship and teaching of the church so that she may come to a more mature faith in Christ as her Savior? Will you seek God's guidance and strength to live your life as good examples for Sophie's physical, spiritual, and mental development? And I always throw this in because I think it's true. Will you love her even when she's a teenager? Yes. Sponsors, will you pray for Sophie? Use your influence to guide her in knowing Christ better. And will you seek God's guidance and strength to live your lives as good examples for her? All right, Sophie, you've got a great team. And let's baptize her right now. So So, all right. Yep, just lean her over. Sophie Mae Melkert, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Very good. All right. This is yours.
Thank you.
All right. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God and Father, we give you thanks for preserving and extending your church and for extending your grace to Sophie in holy baptism, receiving her as your child and an heir to your eternal kingdom. We humbly ask you to defend and keep her in this grace, that she may never depart from you, but may always live according to your will, finally receiving the fullness of your promise in your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Galatians 3:27 says this, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Amen and amen. Sophie, receive the sign of the cross. Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we will now light a baptismal candle for Sophie. Sophie, let your light so shine before others that she may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Some certificates for the sponsors, just to remind you to pray for Sophie, and we have her baptismal certificate here for you. We'll give that to you also. Okay. All right, and let's turn around and present Sophie to the congregation. Sophie, we welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as a fellow member of the body of Christ, child of the same Heavenly Father, and worker with us in the kingdom of God. Peace be with you. And Sophie, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is good, God is great, and God is gracious. And I think some prayer and not only rejoicing, but maybe some applause to acknowledge that. So, thank you so much.
God speaks to us through the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." and heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." The second reading is from the book of John, chapter 3. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how could you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." The word of the Lord. Our prayers. God of compassion, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In their loneliness, be their consolation. In their anxiety, be their hope. In their darkness, be their light. Through him who suffered alone on the cross, but reigns with you in glory, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
Thank you, Rick. Powerful scriptures for this Trinity Sunday. Well, it's that time in our service. We're about halftime. Let's take a little bit of time, stand up, stretch our legs, and maybe greet your neighbor while you're at it. Congratulations, Grandma. Good to see you. Good morning. Good to see you. Hey, good to see you guys. Good to see you. Take care. All right. Got your summer all mapped out? Good morning. Good to see you. All right.
Thank you. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home, lead me home.
Well, it's that time, kids. If you want to come forward, we have a message just for you. I'll put the table in the chair here. All right. Hopefully somebody will come with the fruit snacks, so it won't be a total loss. There we go. Uncle John's coming. He's got the fruit snacks. So, you know, a treat for me is coffee. You know, I love coffee. Someday you guys will. Right now you probably think it's kind of yucky. But I have some coffee here, some instant coffee. It's Starbucks French roast, and that's kind of my favorite. So can I drink it like this? That won't work, will it? So we have to open up the container, don't we? So we'll do that. We'll cut that open. Pour the coffee in there. Can you see that? Does it look like coffee? It's just a powder. And then I spilled some. Get that in there. I don't want to leave anything behind. And then I have some of my favorite creamer. So this is French vanilla creamer. We'll put that in there. So is it ready to go? Can I drink it now? No. You know, today we heard Mr. Drevlo read this really interesting story from the Bible, true story, about when Jesus met with a guy named Nicodemus. And he said, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus kind of scratched his head and he said, how can you be born again? Can I go into my mother's womb again? No, I can't. Oh, you guys can come over here. Come on, come on. There we go. So being born again is kind of like this coffee here. See, at one time, this coffee was brewed into coffee, and then they dried it out and turned it into a powder. That's kind of like our first birth, okay? But because we're sinners, we kind of can't be what we're supposed to be. And so what we need to do is add some hot water to this. Okay. And now we've got coffee, don't we? Beautiful aroma. Coffee. Mmm. Someday, you'll get out of bed just to have this drink. Oh, that's so good. That's like the second birth. Our first birth, we're just like the dry powder. Okay? We can't be who we're supposed to be. Okay? Because we're sinners and we don't know God. And then God in baptism meets us, or meets us in his word as we hear the good news that Jesus died for us, then we experience that second birth and God pours himself into us, and then we become who we're supposed to be. And this is all what Jesus did on the cross. He died for us so that we could have that second birth, so he could pour his life into us and make us who we're supposed to be. And we're so grateful for that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, today we acknowledge that without you, we're just dry. We're just dust. We're not who we're supposed to be. But you came and lived for us. You died for us. You rose again for us. And you sent us your Holy Spirit to reconstitute us, to pour yourself into us so that we can be your people and your children. And we praise you for this. Amen. All right, thank you guys for coming up. And John's got some fruit snacks for you, and let's give these kids a round of applause, shall we? Oh, I hate to let that go to waste. Well, as we come before God's word today, let's pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord, we praise you today for the way you've worked in each of our lives. You had us in mind when you sent your Son into this world to redeem us. And by your Holy Spirit, you have given us faith to believe this. So we praise and thank you for who you've made us to be. Amen. Well, the title of today's message is New Life in an Old World. And I'm going to begin by telling you a story about my academic career, which began in the 80s. So I began my academic career as a layman who had been trained and practiced evangelism for several years. My pastor had a program at church where people were trained, and I was trained. We went out into homes and spoke to people, and I got to share a little bit more each time. And so as I headed off to college to pursue the ministry, I took a college course on evangelism, and I naturally felt a little ahead of the curve on this, and I was eager to hit the streets. But much to my dismay, the instructor required us to read and outline all the sermons in the book of Acts. I thought, what does this guy know about evangelism? But, of course, I wanted to pass the course. So I had to do what was required of me, and boy, were my eyes opened as I read and studied and outlined these sermons from the book of Acts, because each of them emphasized the resurrection. And I had not been including that when I shared the gospel. I was leaving Jesus on the cross. Yes, he died for our sins, but, you know, he also did something pretty amazing. He rose again. And he's alive today. So today's text for this Trinity Sunday, one of the sermons from the book of Acts, will remind us of the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter's inspired Pentecost sermon delivers three powerful points about the importance of the resurrection. And that's why I've entitled this New Life in an Old World. First of all, he will talk about the reality of the resurrection. Yes, it really happened. Jesus is a real person who rose from the dead. Secondly, he will talk about the results of the resurrection, and then, of course, the response to the resurrection. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 39. Let's enjoy this great sermon together. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, and this is a quote from Psalm 16, 1,000 years before the New Testament, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope. because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. End of quote. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. In other words, David wasn't talking about himself here. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ 1,000 years before it happened. That he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Excuse me. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, and here's a quote from Psalm 110, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." The word of the Lord. Well, what an amazing sermon Peter preaches here. And the first thing he talks about is the reality of the resurrection, the reality of the new life. There have been a number of theories put out there in an attempt to deny the reality of Christ's physical resurrection. Theories like the theft theory. Now, we can read about this in Matthew 28:11-15. The guards at the very tomb who reported the resurrection were paid off by the religious establishment to foment the lie that the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus. The same soldiers who had been paralyzed with fear by the angel who rolled the stone away from Jesus' tomb were bribed by the chief priests and elders to lie and say that while they were asleep, the disciples came and stole Jesus' body. Now, there's a number of problems with this theory. First of all, even if the disciples could have stolen the body, why would they? They never believed Jesus would really rise. John tells us this in chapter 20 of his gospel. They didn't understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Why would most of the disciples die martyr's death, which they did, for a total lie and fabrication? Secondly, and the most obvious, if the guards were really asleep, how would they know who stole the body, right? I mean, that's like interviewing a kindergartner there. Well, how do you know that? Anyway, so moving up to our time now, another popular argument that has been put forth to reject the resurrection is that it's what's been called the swoon theory, namely that Jesus didn't actually die but was in a semi-coma when placed in the tomb, and the coolness of the tomb and the aroma of the almost 100 pounds of spices somehow revived him. And there are just a host of problems with this theory. The Romans were absolute experts at execution. They wouldn't have allowed someone even the remotest chance of living. A centurion and armed guard were sent out to confirm the fact of Jesus' death. For Jesus to have survived the crucifixion, he would have had to have survived, first of all, the scourging, excuse me, then the crucifixion itself, large nails driven through the hands and feet, and then hung in an upright position to slowly suffocate. Then don't forget about the spear thrust into his side, rupturing the sac around the heart, evidenced by blood and water that came out. and they did this to ensure that he was dead. And of course, they confirmed, yes, he's dead. A spear thrust to the heart would confirm that. And after all this, to be entombed for 3 days with around 100 pounds of spices and cloth wrapped around him in a mummy-like fashion. Then, after 3 days, we are to believe that, according to this theory, that he came out of his coma, no food, no water, no medical assistance, massive loss of blood, spear thrust to the side. He somehow single-handedly unwrapped himself, rolled away the humongous stone, and eluded the guards and walked away from the tomb. Then took, according to Luke 24, took about a 7-mile walk with two men on the way to Emmaus on feet that had just been shattered by heavy nails. I mean, we could go on and on about how ridiculous it is. I think it takes more faith to believe this theory than it does the actual biblical account, basically. Remember everything that Jesus went through. Remember the reality of the scourging, the crucifixion, the spear thrust, 3 days, the stone, the road to Emmaus. 500 people, we're told, saw him after his resurrection. It really happened. So let's take a close look at the results of this reality. 4 quick points, the results of the resurrection. First of all, Christ is victorious for us over death. I love this passage in the book of Revelation. Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. Number 2, results of the resurrection. God's word of promise is confirmed for us as true. We hear Peter talk about this. David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to us today. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on this throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ. And as I said, about 1,000 years before it happened, God is in control of history. He sees history in its entirety from beginning to end. And so his promises, all of his promises, are confirmed in Christ's resurrection. Number 3, the results of the resurrection, Christ is exalted to the right hand of God for us. What a blessing that is. Peter mentions this. He says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ." Paul says this in Romans 8, "Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." We've got a friend in high places. And finally, fourthly, the results of the resurrection, the exalted Christ gives us the Spirit for our faith and our witness. Remember, Peter was talking at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit had been poured out in abundance. He says here, "Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." What a blessing. Yes, the resurrection happened, but we are benefactors of it in beautiful ways. And this brings us to a natural conclusion. What is my response to all of this? Peter deals with that, the response to the resurrection. He gives us 3 points. Number 1, repent. Be free to come clean with God. Admit to God what he already knows, that you are a sinner in need of his forgiveness. Number 2, receive that forgiveness. Embrace the resurrected Christ as he embraces you. And thirdly, rejoice in Christ's word, his sacraments and presence. His promise is for you. We do all of these when we gather together as the body of Christ. Now, I enjoy reading and thinking about what good theologians have to say about the Christian life and faith. Here are 2 examples. One, a contemporary or modern theologian, another from the 1800s. So as we think about our response of repent, receive, and rejoice, let us first think about what Paul Tripp said. Grace frees you from being afraid of admitting your sin, weakness, and failures. Grace frees you. You can be honest with God. As Gerhard Fertig has said, call a spade, because God's grace is there for you. And then another theologian from the 1800s, C.F.W. Walther, he says, quite frankly, grace is not something for which I must look in my heart. It is in the heart of God, and he extends it to you. Praise be to God. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Let us pray. Exalted and resurrected Jesus, you have been raised from the dead. Preaching the gospel is not useless, it's essential. Faith in you is not futile, but fertile. We are no longer encased in our sins. We're fully wrapped in your righteousness. Those who have gone to sleep in you are not slumbering in the void. They are savoring your resurrection glory. Because of your compelling love, show us how to live for you. For you died for us and have been raised again. Amen and amen. As we respond to God and his grace and his goodness, let's sing together hymn number 534 in the green hymnals, or it appears on the screen, Now Thank We All Our God. As is our custom, we will do some intercessory prayer. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness and grace poured out in abundance upon us. We pray for those who may be struggling today, struggling with their journey through this broken world. We pray that you would meet them, surround them with your people, speak to them from your word, comfort them by your spirit. Lord, each of us have different journeys, and in this moment of silence, we offer up today our own walk through this world. Lord, we also think of those who celebrate birthdays this week. We pray that you would remind them that you are with them when they came into this world, and you will be with them when they leave it. And you are with them between those two points and on into eternity. And we praise you for your faithfulness. And we pray now the prayer that you yourself have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
I'd like you to invite you to stand as you're able, and together we'll join in singing a doxology.
God's peace to you all. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a memorable Memorial Day as we remember those who have fallen to give us our freedom. Receive the Lord's blessing today. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord. Thanks be to God.